بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, in this session that we are doing, the series of lectures about the best generation, the gold standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for all of humankind to follow. The Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, and what more can anybody ask for, what more can anybody imagine, what more can anybody wish if they were in that place? What more would you say that you wanted except the proof and the evidence, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your witness. And the greatness of the Sahaba in this is expressed in many ayat, but the one, my favorite one in the Quran, is in Surah Tawbah, ayah number 100, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this beautiful ayatul kareema, as for the sabiqun al-awwalun, the foremost, the people who won the race, the people who are right in the front, as-sabiqun al-awwalun, as for the foremost, the first of the emigrants and the helpers, the first of the muhajirun and those who helped them, the ansar. Now, this is where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so clear. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have stated this ayah without saying what he did. وَاتَّبَعْهُمْ بِالْحِسَانِ Allah said, and those who follow them in goodness. Allah says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, Jalla Jalal. And he has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to stay there forever and ever. That is the ultimate triumph, final and lasting success. Now think about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this blessed generation. And in the same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوَانَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, as for the foremost among the muhajirun and the ansar, the emigrants and the helpers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as for the foremost, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added something else, which is, he opened a door and that door is open until the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ And those who follow them in goodness. Now, this is the reason why we need to study the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of this blessed generation, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created specifically to help his Nabi, his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his work of da'wah. They did that to the level of excellence. And it is thanks to them that today I am sitting here and you are sitting there and you are watching this and you are listening to this and I am speaking this. And all the Muslims who are on the face of the planet today and who will continue to come until the last day, every single one of us, without exception, owes it to that generation of this in the 7th century, the blessed generation, the first generation of Muslims, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about this, that the vast majority of Muslims today are Muslims who were born Muslim. People like me and you, for example, I was born a Muslim, and to the best of my knowledge, my family has been Muslim for God knows more than 1,000 years, right? But the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah, every single one of them was a convert. Every single one of them, without exception, was a convert, was a revert. And all of us, and all our ancestors, and all our successors, who were Muslim and who are Muslim and who will be Muslim, inshallah, we owe a debt of gratitude to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the reward and give them the goodness of all that we do until the Day of Judgment. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that any one of his Sahaba, his level and his position and his daraja with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is higher than the rest of the Muslim humankind until the last day. Collectively, all of them, including me and you, cannot equal the level before Allah of one of the Sahaba, any one of them. And of course, even in them, there are levels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Now, the point to think about is this, which is that they were this blessed generation, and they were these, the gold standard, because of one thing. And that one thing was the one they followed. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So before we go into the lives of the Sahaba, I want to speak to you about the one they followed. Because unless we know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot know the Sahaba. Unless we know the standard they followed, we cannot appreciate the excellence with which they followed that standard. And that is why it is so critical to learn about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to study his seerah, his life, his biography, for every branch of Islam. If you are studying the Quran, you need the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the living tafsir, as the living exegesis, as the living example and explanation of the Quran. If you're studying a hadith, obviously they relate to him and his life themselves. If you're studying fiqh, Islamic law, that again emanates from his rulings and what he gave. And Allah said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take from my Nabi whatever he gives you and leave whatever he stops you from, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose punishment is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawgiver, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the law implementer and the lawgiver also in the name of Allah, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed him to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this blanket ruling to say, whatever he tells you, do it, whatever he stops you from, stop. He was the blessed messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was he blessed and how was he blessed? He was blessed because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his coming a special favor on the believers. And Allah explained why it was his favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means in Surah Al Imran, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a great favor, has blessed, has given this great blessing on the believers, when he, Jalla Jalaluhu, the glorious and magnificent, sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was from them, from among themselves, reciting unto them his ayat, the Quran, purifying them, which is internal and external purification, and instructing them in the book, teaching them the kitab, and al-hikmah, which is the sunnah, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, demonstrating to them, while before that they had been in manifest error. Please note, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that Allah has conferred a great favor on the believers, that he sent for them his book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his book, his kalam, his speech to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran was, the nuzul of the Quran was on the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we got the Quran because of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he told us what was revealed to him. We believe that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the second ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, is an ayah, is a verse, it's a sign, it's a line from the Quran, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that this is his ayah. That this is an ayat of the Quran. Because if you just think about that, if I want to say all praise and all glory and all thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb, the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the protector of the entire creation of all the worlds, how would I say it? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But why do we say this is an ayat of the Quran? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. So the word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is law. The word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what tells us what is what. Which one is the kalam of Allah and which one is not the kalam of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore called the messenger his special blessing. Of course the kalam is a blessing. Of course iman is a blessing. Of course health is a blessing. Wealth and power and is a blessing. Our families and children and so on. We are surrounded completely by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us on a planet which is habitable. That He created us in a way that we are able to live on this planet with these conditions. That He created us in a way where He gave us the intelligence to be able to harness all the forces that Allah has surrounded us with and use them in blessed ways, in better ways, in useful ways, to harness the resources, the natural resources, to have control over the environment, to have control over the forests and the animals and the birds and so on and so forth of this planet. All of these are ni'mat, all of these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah did not mention any of those. Allah said the blessing, He said, my blessing is that I have sent a messenger to you from among you. Double blessing, one that Allah sent a messenger, and secondly that the messenger is one of us, is a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave ikram. He honored the human race by sending among them His beloved messenger, who was a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessed because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and ordered us also to do that. Allah said, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His salat, His blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also His angels do the same. They also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Him and forgive Him. O you who believe, and this is the hukum, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi. O you who believe, send your salat on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him, and you should greet him and salute him with the Islamic way of greeting, which is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He is blessed because his message is the only thing that has the capacity to take a person destined for the hellfire into Jannah, if he or she accepts it and lives by it. This is the meaning of being a Muslim. He is blessed because while living by this message, those who do so also become winners in worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and talked about and told us about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam And he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wadduha wal-layli idha saja, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala, walal-akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَهَدِّثْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath. He said, what duha? By the forenoon, after sunrise when the sun is up, and by the night, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, by the night when it is still, or darkens and quiet, your Rabb, O Muhammad, has neither forsaken you nor does he hate you. And indeed, the hereafter is better for you than the present, than this world. And verily, your Rabb will give you so much that you will be pleased. Bala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will please you. I will give you so much that you will be pleased. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some incidents in the life of Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, did he not find you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as an orphan and gave you refuge? And he find you unaware, searching for the truth, and he guided you? And he found you poor and he enriched you, made you rich, self-sufficient and content? Therefore, Do not discard or oppress the orphan. La tanhar, don't chase him away. And do not repulse and don't refuse and don't chase away the questioner or the one who asks, the sa'il, the one who is asking you for something, whether it is material, whether it is in terms of knowledge, whatever. Say, don't remove him, don't discard him. And proclaim the grace of your Rabb, which is his prophethood and other blessings. Subhanallah. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is guiding and commanding his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, if someone asks you, give him. Don't send away the person who is asking empty-handed. Whatever is asking you for, give him. Think about this, that this is the one, the Rabbul Alameen, who is instructing his Nabi, don't send away the one who is asking, the Sa'il, empty-handed. What do you think Allah will do when we ask him? What do you think he will do? When you make dua, make it with this complete and total certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give because you are asking. That he will give because he can give. And only he can give. Only he can give. And that's why the beautiful long hadith, but I just mentioned to you the first two parts, of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who says, I was mounted behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Ghulam. He said, oh little boy, let me teach you something which will give you benefit in this dunya and akhirah. And he said to him, احفظ الله ويحفظك. He said, take care of Allah, protect Allah and Allah will protect you. Protect Allah means protect the deen of Allah, protect the religion of Allah, protect the orders of Allah, protect what Allah has prohibited, meaning don't do those things. And he said, Allah will protect you. He said, protect what Allah has given you and you will find Allah in front of you. He's asking you to build a connection with Allah. And then he says, if you have to ask something, ask only Allah. And he says, if you need any help, istain billah. Ask only help from Allah. Yeah? Do not repulse the one who is asking. Allah is saying this. We We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His rida, for His pleasure, for Him to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ruya, to grant us that we should see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dream. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for husnul khatima, for a good ending where we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where Allah is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a beautiful life in this dunya, a life which is full of safety and care and concern for others, a life which is purposeful and useful and beneficial for all those we come into contact with. Surah Al-Duha was revealed in Makkah after a prolonged period when Rasulullah ﷺ had not been receiving wahi. Now imagine, this is, he had got used to receiving wahi. This was his, you know, the big boost for him, that Jibreel ﷺ would come to him and he would tell him what Allah is saying. And then suddenly for a period they stopped. And people started taunting him and making all kinds of nasty remarks, his enemies in Makkah. So he was very troubled by this and very sad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not communicated with him for so long and that Jibreel alayhi salam had not visited him. It was almost as if wahi had stopped. And to add to this, as I said, his enemies started to taunt him and mock him, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, really saying, I love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This surah is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return, when He will reward His Messenger fully for His incredible effort by giving Him until He, the Messenger, is pleased. Think about that, the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We try to please Allah, and even if Allah is a little bit pleased with us, we say, Alhamdulillah, my life has been well lived and worthwhile. But in this case, Allah is saying that He, Jalla Jalaluhu, the glorious and magnificent, will please Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we love our blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because he is blessed. He is truly, truly, truly blessed. Seerah means the way. When we say the seerah, we mean the biography of Rasulullah. Why must we study the seerah? Especially today, the 21st century, when he lived in the 7th century. How can something so ancient be relevant to us today in our modern world and times? Respecting, honoring and so forth, sure, why not? But studying the life of someone who lived so long ago with a view to leading our lives the same way, now that's a stretch for most people. I will deal with this in detail as we go forward, but you will see how the life of Rasulullah ﷺ is the best way to negotiate the pathways of our lives with honor in today's world. And this is what the Sahaba did. This is what his companions did, and that is why they got the status they got. I remind myself and you that to love Rasulullah ﷺ is a condition of Iman. It's not a discretionary thing left to us. Love him if you like, ignore him if you like. No. It's a condition of Iman. We study the seerah because you cannot love somebody you don't know. The beauty of the life of Rasulullah ﷺ is that, unlike in the case of most people about whom it is said, familiarity breeds contempt, in the case of Rasulullah ﷺ, familiarity inspires love and devotion and loyalty, the desire to meet him, to see him in our dreams, to be like him and to emulate him in our lives. The more we study about him, the more you want to be like him. And that is why you have the strange phenomenon that even a person who may not be a very seriously practicing Muslim, what we lovingly call Ramadan Muslims or Eid Muslims, when anyone attacks Rasulullah ﷺ or tries to insult him, this Muslim will be highly offended, to put it politely. You can say anything about anyone in the world and the Muslims will take it calmly, but they need to get offended about something, but they don't. But insult Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they get enraged. There's a lovely proverb in Farsi which goes, Ba Khuda Diwana Bashad Ba Muhammad Hoshiyar, which means you may say whatever you want about Allah. Khuda means Allah. And get away with it. But be careful about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ba Muhammad Hoshiyar, be careful. This is the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we Muslims have, and we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and are proud of and consider it to be a differentiator of ours from all other human beings. That is why we say sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam every time we hear his name alayhi salatu wa salam, because this respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned, is something which is a part of our identity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا Eight things. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ In Surah Tawbah, Ayah 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Prophet, if your parents and children and siblings and spouses and extended family and the wealth you have acquired and the trade in which you fear a decline and the homes and the houses that you build and look at them and you feel nice and you cherish them, if all of these are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and struggling in the path of Allah, then wait until Allah brings about His will, meaning go and wait for the punishment of Allah. And Allah does not guide rebellious people. Allah does not guide the fasiqun. In the hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah ﷺ is reported to have said, None of you have faith until I am more beloved to him than his children, his father and all the people. Right? His children, his parents and all the people. None of you have faith until I am more beloved to him than his children, his father, his parents and all of the people. And this is a hadith, Sahih hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, which is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Another hadith narrated also by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, None of you will have faith till he loves me more than he loves his father, his children and all mankind. Till he loves me more than he loves his father, his children and all of mankind. So more than he loves his father. Again, as I mentioned to you before, all of these things, father means father and mother. So unless none of you will have faith until he loves me more than he loves his father, his children and all of mankind. And this is also a Sahih hadith in Bukhari. So to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obligatory and necessary because emulation is the result of love. And this is what the Sahaba did. They emulated him. And they emulated him because they loved him. And they loved him more than they loved anyone else. The one who emulates Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be honest and truthful and trustworthy and compassionate and humorous and loving and intelligent and steadfast and brave and confident and totally focused on quality in everything he or she does and consistent in their effort, spreading goodness all around them. I can go on, but this suffices. Just read this list and tell me how such a person is likely to be viewed in today's world. This is not simply a random list of so-called virtues, but every one of them is confirmed and supported by incidents and actions and decisions in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for us to study his life and learn ways to become immensely successful, loved and influential in our own lives. Let me end this session by a quote from somebody who is not known as a friend of Islam, because he wasn't, or a friend of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he wasn't. And this is Lamartine, Alphonse de Lamartine, the French historian many other things. He wrote this in his book, The History of Turkey. The praise of an enemy is the most reliable praise, and that's the reason why I'm quoting this. He says, if the grandeur of the aim, listen carefully, if the grandeur of the aim, the smallness of the means, the immensity of results. So it's not just a matter of making a claim and saying this is my vision and then you can't achieve it. No. He says, if the grandeur of the aim, the smallness of the means and the immensity of the results are the three measures of a man's genius, who would dare humanly compare a great man of modern history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He continues, the most famous have only moved weapons, laws, empires. They founded when they founded anything, only material powers often crumbling before them. This man not only moved armies, legislation, empires, peoples, dynasties, millions of men, over a third of the inhabited globe, but he also moved ideas and beliefs and souls. He founded upon a book of which each letter has become a law, a spiritual nationality embracing people of all languages and races, and made an indelible imprint upon this Muslim nation for the hatred of false gods and the passion for the one God, one and immaterial. Philosopher, orator, apostle, legislator, warrior, conqueror of ideas, restorer of a rational dogma for a cult without imagery, founder of 20 earthly empires and of one spiritual empire. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of all the scales by which one measures human grandeur, which man has been greater? And this is Alphonse de Lamartine, History of Turkey, which was published in 1854 in Paris. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand and appreciate the beauty of what he gave us. And that's the reason why we are studying the lives of the Sahaba, because the Sahaba appreciated it and they lived their lives according to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's the reason why they got the status that they got. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.